Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is very good, my dear child, that you have attained the supreme goal of life by developing love of Godhead. Thus you have pleased me very much, and I am very much obliged to you. Purport. According to the revealed scriptures, if a spiritual master can convert even one soul into a perfectly pure devotee, his mission in life is fulfilled. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur always used to say, even at the expense of all the properties, temples and mathas that I have, if I could convert even one person into a pure devotee, my mission would be fulfilled. It's very difficult, however, to understand the science of Krishna, what to speak of developing love of Godhead. Therefore, if by grace of Lord Chaitanya and the spiritual master, a disciple attains the standard of pure devotional service, the spiritual master is very happy. The spiritual master is not actually happy if the disciple brings him money, but when he sees that the disciple is following the regulative principles and advancing in spiritual life, he is very glad and feels obliged to such an advanced disciple. Bailahaila padatumi parama purushartha tamara premeti ame haila kritartha. It is very good, my dear child, that you have attained the supreme goal of life by developing love of Godhead. Thus you have pleased me very much, and I am very much obliged to you. These are the words of Srila Ishwarapuri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was very much impressed by spiritual attainment of Lord Chaitanya. He realized immediately that all these symptoms were symptoms of pure love of Godhead, Krishna Prema, and of course Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, it is very easy for him to display the topmost perfection because he is always perfect anyway. And nevertheless, to teach all of us, he is accepting spiritual master. And his spiritual master comes in a very special line. Ishwarapuri was a disciple of His Divine Grace Madhavendrapuri Goswami, whose birthday, whose appearance day we are celebrating today, and who, according to the scripture, was one of the three persons who not only attained Krishna Prema. There were many, many devotees who had the level of Krishna Prema, but the topmost perfection in Krishna Prema, as it is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Nectar of Devotion, there are eight levels in Krishna Prema itself, and the topmost level is called Mahabhava. And there are only three persons, it is described, who attained the topmost or who had the topmost perfection of Krishna Prema on Mahabhava level. One is, of course, Srimati Radharani herself. Another person is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He displayed Mahabhava. But the third person is Madhavendra Puri Goswami. So he also displayed that Mahabhava. This stage in which devotee is completely oblivious to what's going on in the material world, and he's fully absorbed in his relationship with the Lord, as it is described, Madhavendra Puri. When he came to Govardhan, and he was chanting and dancing on the way, and he was not aware whether it is day or night. And he didn't care whether he's walking or falling, or if there is any food to eat or if there is no food to eat. He didn't care. If someone would offer him something to eat, he would eat. Otherwise, he was just fasting and without noticing that. So this is something which is beyond our imagination, and we know that Lord Chaitanya was also displaying these amazing symptoms of Mahabhava, where when he was completely unaware of what's happening with his body. Actually, this level of attainment is not possible. It is described in the material world because the spiritual ecstasy one perceives is so great that material body just cannot handle it. The analogy is given: if you plug in an electric device, whatever, you know, maybe iron or something like that, into the socket, and it gives you much higher current than the device can handle, so device bursts. So in the same way, if someone has this so much bliss, you know, there is so much bliss available from Krishna Prema, especially the topmost stages, that material body just cannot handle it. So material body falls apart. And there are other examples as well of that. So this is what's what we are aiming at. To be so happy that we wouldn't be able to, even to survive that happiness. Anyway, that's we still have to work on purifying our own hearts to achieve that level. But we see so many examples in scriptures. And in many instances when it is described, there are descriptions of devotees like that, like Madhavendra Puri or Gopal Bhatta Goswami, by whose pure desire one of his Shalagram Shilas manifested himself in the form of a deity of Krishna, Sri Radharaman, whose also appearance we're celebrating today, because he wanted to have personal exchanges with the deity. And if we look at Radharaman's body, you can see the marks of Shalagram Shila on the body, and also certain features of the body. For example, the fingers on the body are so fine and delicate that pujaris are even afraid to put flute in his hands, not to damage his fingers. And if one looks closer, he has, you know, his mouth is slightly open and one can see teeth inside his mouth. So it's something which is not possible just to carve from the stone. So these are the proofs that he is Shalagram, who manifested himself in the form of a deity. Just because of so much love Gopal Bhatta Goswami had. And all these personalities, they're actually belonging to the spiritual world. And they come here just to play the parts of conditioned souls. And we think, okay, they already perfect, so they manifest this perfection. But it is very rare, as Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport, for anyone to attain such a high level of perfection, Krishna Prema. And oftentimes we think for ourselves, what are the chances, what are our chances? Because, you know, we may struggle with our spiritual practices, and we come across different problems, and then we look for solutions to these problems. How can we solve it? But sometimes it seems that every solution just breeds another problem. So, and we may think, will there be end to it? How much more shall I struggle, and will I be able to make it? So Prabhupada says in the purport that it is very difficult, however, to understand the science of Krishna, what to speak of developing love of God, Godhead. So how do we do that? Because it takes the wisest person, it is described in Bhagavad Gita, to understand, to even understand the science of Krishna consciousness. Tasham gyani niti yuktaya kabhakti vishishyate. Only gyani, wise man, can really dedicate himself to Krishna fully without any material motivations. But how many wise people we have in this world? There are very few people who are wise, and everybody else is otherwise. So, and yeah, we may sometimes become discouraged or disappointed, or even we may lose hope to achieve full perfection, as Prabhupada was saying, in this lifetime, right? Let's see how it is relevant for how many people it is relevant here. How many of you felt that, oh, it's hopeless? How much more it will take? It's, you know, it's much more difficult that it appeared in the beginning. That in the beginning it was advertised as something very easy, but now I am realizing that it's not that easy. How many of you felt like that? So yeah, it's a reality. But then Srila Prabhupada says, what is the hope? By the grace of Lord Chaitanya and the spiritual master, a disciple attains the standard of pure devotional service. And then the spiritual master is very happy with that. Quite a few years back, when I felt like that, that actually I'm completely hopeless case, and shall I continue to struggle? And I was listening to Prabhupada's classes, trying to understand what to do, and then I was listening and listening until I fell asleep. And then in my dream, I saw one of our senior devotees. And I came to that senior Vaishnava. I offered my obeisances to him. And I started lamenting. I was telling him that, you know, I'm completely hopeless. How can I advance spiritually? What do I do? Whether I should continue or not. And in my dream I even cried out of desperation. And then he smiled, he embraced me, and he said, don't worry. I felt like that before also. I realized that I'm a hopeless case, and the only thing I can do is to serve Vaishnavas. So I thought, oh, this is perfect solution. I can do that. I don't have to be extremely advanced to serve devotees. And so this actually is a solution for all of us. Because can we develop Krishna consciousness? It says yes, but actually we cannot. Because Krishna consciousness belongs to Krishna. This is why it's called Krishna consciousness. And by definition, we can only have Krishna consciousness in the association of Krishna and his devotees. We can only reflect the consciousness of Krishna, and this is called Krishna consciousness. So only by associating and serving Vaishnavas and the Supreme Lord, we can have Krishna consciousness. There is no other alternative. And so the better we learn to serve Hari Guru and Vaishnavas, the more we develop our Krishna consciousness. So this is a very simple secret of success. Yasya prasadam bhagavat prasadam. Yasya prasadam agati kutapi. By pleasing the spiritual master, we achieve the mercy of Krishna. But if we are not pleasing the spiritual master, then we cannot achieve anything good. And it is explained here that spiritual master is very happy when he sees that his disciple is advancing in spiritual life. And there is actually a verse in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam which explains what makes a spiritual master happy, or when spiritual master is feeling happy. This is canto 11, text number, chapter 12, text number, sorry, chapter 10, text 12. It is explained, Acharya ranir adyasyat antevasyat tarani tat sandhanam pravachanam vidyasanti sukhavaha. The spiritual master can be compared to the lower kindling stick, the disciple to the upper kindling stick, and the instruction given by the guru to the third stick placed in between. The transcendental knowledge communicated from guru to disciple is compared to the fire arising from the contact of this, which burns the darkness of ignorance, to ashes, bringing great happiness both to guru and disciple. So what's the reason? What is the reason that spiritual master is feeling so happy? Is he just happy because he made someone perfect just by the attainment? Like in the material world, people sometimes feel very proud of their achievements. Of course, it is not like that. It is very different. This verse is speaking about transcendental knowledge received by the spirit, from the spiritual master, and that this transcendental knowledge burns ignorance to ashes. And there is very famous verse in Bhagavad Gita, which I'm sure many of you know, Tadvithi Pranipatana Pariprashnana Sevaya, that we are advised to approach a spiritual master, to inquire from him and render service unto him. But there is a next verse following that in Bhagavad Gita, which is not often quoted, but that verse actually explains what will be the result of approaching a spiritual master. So what is that knowledge, in essence, which spiritual master gives? So this is chapter 4, text 35. Yajgyatva na punarmoham evam yasyasi pandava esha bhutanya shashanya drakshyasat ma nyahatomai. it is described that having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion, for by this knowledge you will see that all living entities, all living beings are part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. This is the first result of transcendental knowledge, that we understand that there is no one who is separated from Krishna. Every living being, every living entity belongs to Krishna. And if it speaks about all living beings, what to speak of people, human beings, who are the best, who have the best chances to develop Krishna consciousness. So, as Krishna says in the same 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, human form of life is very dear to me. And this understanding is the first step in Krishna conscious development, that there is no one separate from Krishna. Everyone belongs to Krishna. And on the basis of this understanding, one starts advancing in spiritual life. And the first symptom of bhakti, as it is described in Nectar of Devotion, is kleshagni. One becomes free from all miseries of material existence. Because one understands that everybody belongs to Krishna. And therefore one will never have any enmity or negative attitude towards others. One will never be bewildered. But we can see that it is happening sometimes, that devotees may even have problems with each other, or devotees may somehow believe in some very strange theories. I'm sure that many of you heard of New World Order, secret world governments and all these things, that there is some evil power which is trying to overpower all of us. So all these thoughts, they only coming because one fails to understand that Krishna is the power behind every power. And whether this power exists or not, it's completely irrelevant for our Krishna consciousness. In the same way as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was telling to Srila Prabhupada, who was arguing with him in the beginning, that how can we develop our Krishna consciousness if we are under British rule? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, well, Krishna is always in transcendental position, and so he is the supreme power. We don't have to worry about anything or anyone else to develop our Krishna consciousness. But it is very easy to find an excuse why I cannot advance, or why situation is not favorable for my practices of Krishna consciousness. And so spiritual master becomes very happy if disciple advances in spiritual life, because then that disciple can become instrumental in fulfilling spiritual master's mission, which is to bring Krishna consciousness to every living entity. to give Krishna consciousness to as many living entities as possible. Because, as Sachinandan Maharaj nicely pointed out, love of Godhead manifests in a pure devotee through compassion towards everyone else who is bereft of Krishna consciousness. Because pure devotee has so much experience of nectar which comes from Krishna, and he is feeling sorry for those who are missing out and on this nectar, and he wants to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. Like Srila Prabhupada, he sacrificed his own life. I heard he was admitting to one of his disciples, one of his servants, that actually he shortened his lifespan by at least 10 years because of so much strain, global travels, late nights, etc., etc. So this is how much Srila Prabhupada wanted to introduce Krishna consciousness to as many people as possible, because of that love of Krishna and because of that compassion. And if someone advances in Krishna consciousness, then one will have the same burning desire, if not one's own, at least reflecting from one's spiritual master, to give Krishna to others, to as many people as we can. And one will never have any problems with others, even though so many people in the material world, they behave improperly. But it is expected, because material world is compared to a prison house. So in prison you don't expect people to be perfect. So if we're in the material world, naturally things will be happening. My Guru Maharaj told one story from his own experiences when he was undergoing a surgery, quite a major surgery, and he had to get anesthetic. Yeah. So anyway, he had to. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shishi Gornitai Kijai. Yeah, sorry. So he had to be put to sleep to have this surgery, and then somehow the dose was not enough, and he came back to his consciousness in the middle of operation, and he said he couldn't think straight, because he just came out of this condition, and then after opening his eyes, immediately he saw a people with masks over their faces and with knives covered with blood, over him. And then, because he was trained as a marine officer, because he had very serious military training, before he could realize what's happening, instinctively he just punched the first person in the face without understanding that this is a surgeon. And this was the main surgeon. And he just, he said, just put mask back on him. So they put the mask, so he inhaled, and then he went back to sleep. And then, after the operation was over, and he said they gave me, big dose of that anesthetic this time to make sure that it doesn't happen again. So he slept for a long time. And then after a while, when he came back to his consciousness, he was already in his bed, and he remembered the incident and he realized what happened. And then he saw that surgeon, that doctor, entering the room, and he started apologizing. And that surgeon had a big plaster over his nose because he punched him quite hard. And He said, I'm really sorry that this happened. But the doctor said, no problem. It's our fault, actually, because we haven't given you enough anesthetic. So don't worry about it. And he said, this doctor didn't mind, even though, you know, he was punched so hard. He didn't mind because he realized that I was not in a proper consciousness. I couldn't understand what's happening. So in the same way, he explains, a preacher or advanced devotee does not mind anything what other people do because he understands that people are not in their mind. They are out of their mind. Sometimes Prabhupada was comparing material world to a mental asylum. So how can you expect inmates in a mental asylum to behave properly? It is a surprise if someone behaves properly. Normally people don't. And therefore, if we sincerely serving our spiritual master, then this will be the very first effect of our Krishna consciousness. We will never have any issues with anyone, even with non-devotees, what to speak of devotees. And rather we'll try to give Krishna consciousness to as many people as we can. And sometimes, if you noticed, it is very easy to maintain maintain Krishna consciousness if you are in the association of like-minded devotees. But if you are not, then it's very hard. So it is very important to make our own Krishna consciousness easy, to have the same mindset, and to be focused on one single goal, which is the instructions Srila Prabhupada gave us. And we may say, oh, Srila Prabhupada gave us so many instructions, volumes of books, and so many conversations and classes, etc., etc., morning walks. So which ones do we focus on? Well, he made it very easy for us. Right in the beginning, when he founded ISKCON, he gave us 7 explicit purposes. And if we focus on these 7, and they're all interlinked, if we focused on these 7 purposes, and if we work together in a systematic way, understanding these 7 purposes, if we work together to implement them, actually, there will be very nice teamwork and cooperation amongst all Vaishnavas. And there is the very first purpose of ISKCON, which is the very first one for purpose, we can say. And actually, yeah, some of the devotees would know the very first purpose. How many of you know what is the Mother Urmila knows to some extent? Anyone else knows the first purpose of ISKCON? Okay, how many devotees know 7 purposes? At least vaguely. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Not too many. So tomorrow night we'll be having a special session on 7 purposes of ISKCON and how to implement them in a systematic way. And we'll be presenting a project which is happening in many different countries. It's called Spiritual United Nations, headed by His Holiness Mukunda Goswami Maharaj, and number of senior Vaishnavas, spiritual masters, are taking active part in it. And we believe that this project is the ultimate solution for all the troubles we may face, and a very nice platform to achieve what Srila Prabhupada really wanted, because Srila Prabhupada wanted Krishna consciousness to be the leading spiritual force on this planet, which is not yet manifested, but we can understand it will be manifested in future. And it's all coming to the very first purpose of ISKCON, which is to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to the society at large and teach all people the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. One senior Vaishnava, Damodar Prabhu, noted, it's very interesting that this first purpose does not even contain the word Krishna. Krishna comes in the second purpose, which says to systematically propagate the consciousness of Krishna as it is presented in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So very interesting. So we'll be looking at that tomorrow, and you're all very welcome if you want to take part in an very exciting development, preaching development. You can come. And if we focused on what Srila Prabhupada wanted all of us to do, then automatically we serve all of our spiritual masters, because Srila Prabhupada is the, as it is defined, preeminent Shiksha Guru for all the members of ISKCON. So automatically you can make all your spiritual masters very happy, and you can serve all the Vaishnavas in a perfect way and help the whole world to take up to Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any comments, questions? Yes.